is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving once again. Hope everybody had an amazing Thanksgiving. Amen. And if you're like me, you're ready to get back on that normal eating habit, because I ate enough in 2 days for a week and a half. Praise the Lord. And don't judge me, because some of y'all did the same thing. All right, go with me to Matthew 12 and 33. I'll be there in a minute. We're in our series on bold faith. Everybody say bold faith. On bold faith. And I want to talk to you specifically out of this series on faith about this component of confession, this component of confession that teaches us that we have what we say. The whole objective of my lesson on this morning is to give you an understanding of the power of words and to get you to begin to shape your world with the words of your mouth. All right. Matthew 12 in 33. If you have it, say, I have it. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by his fruit. How many know that's right? O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For watch this, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So whatever's in me is going to come up out of me, right? He says, I love verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Watch verse 37, because this is very important. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And so the writer is teaching us that the words are so very important, and is really teaching us that whatever's in us is going to come up out of us. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and he talks about how a tree is known by its fruit, and a good man will produce good things, an evil man will produce evil things. And he says, you got to be careful for all these idle words. He said, because by thy words thou art justified, and by thy words thou art condemned. Thank you. So he says that your word can make you, or your word can break you. So he says, by my words, I'm justified. Justified means to be made free or acquitted. He says, or condemned. The word condemned means to be put into bondage. So either my words free me, or my words put me into bondage. And so the law of confession teaches us that you will have what you say. That is why you must watch what you say. Can I get a? And a lot of people have not made a relationship between what they say and what they have in their lives. Go with me to Proverbs 18 and 20. We'll read verses 18, verses 20 and 21. Of course, they'll have it up on the screen as well. So you can use your Bible, you can use your app, or you can use the screen. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with all that sweet potato pie he had this past week. Did anybody have sweet potato pie besides me? Oh, okay, all right. We had fried chicken and collard greens and ham and turkey and ribs and meatloaf. I told you, I ate for a week and a half. He says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And you got to understand that. With the increase of his lips, my lips are going to produce increase, whether it's good increase or bad increase, and that's why I got to make sure I'm saying the right thing. He says, death and life are in the power of the devil, and that's right. If I'm not right, you shoot me down, because the Bible didn't say that, did it? And a lot of times we're blaming things on the devil when we don't realize we're allowing the wrong things to come out of our mouth. He says, watch this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. And so you're going to have what you say. It's a law. It's a law. You're going to have what you say. When we begin to talk about laws, can we just talk about laws for a few minutes? Let's talk about laws. A law is a principle based on a predictable circumstance of an act. It is something that operates or functions the same way every time, all right? I'll give it to you again. A law is a principle based on a predictable circumstance of an act, something that operates or functions the same way every time. I submit to you that if you leave here and go down to the neighborhood Walmart, you got it, and have grab a towel over your hand and say, stick them up, what are they, who are they going to call? The popo, 911, right? You got it. And you probably, you are not going to pass go. You're probably not going to collect $200, but you're probably going straight to jail. Right? And so, why? Because the law says you just can't go in there threatening people and, you know, robbing people. You just can't do that kind of stuff. Am I right? Yeah. The law of gravity teaches us that what goes up must come down, right? So at the end of the service, you can get on the roof and you can get ready to jump. I believe I can fly. You... Guess what happens when you take off? Coming right on down. Right? So a law is a principle based on a predictable circumstance of an act. It's something that operates or functions the same way. And it's really good that it operates the same way. And so just like natural laws operate the same way, spiritual laws operate the same way. So if I want something to work in my life, I must understand the law. Right? If you want to learn how to fly, you got to go to flight school. Right? If you want to learn the word of God, you need to come to church. You got it? You know, because I've got to understand. Romans 15:4. Put it up on the screen. Romans 15:4. Watch what it says. So I've got to understand. I've got to see church, watch this now, as a place that I come and learn God's plan for my life. All right? He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we may through patience and comfort of the scripture might have what, class? Hope. And so when we learn, it gives us hope. All right. See, teaching brings information and understanding, and it is understanding that takes away fear. All right. I could give it to you, you know, in the spirit. And I normally do. But let me give it to you in a natural. In order to fly a plane, and I'm not a pilot, all right, but in order to fly a plane, there are different laws. I've learned that there are different laws of flight. You know, there's the law of lift. There's the law of weight. There's the law of thrust. There's a law of drag. There's these different laws that have to kind of work in sequence. And so if a plane picks up a certain speed, the air will come over the wings, causing it to defy gravity and lift. All right? So that plane is heavy. And the law of weight is just follow me, okay? The law of weight is saying, man, this thing is too heavy to go up in the air. All right? But there's this other law called the law of thrust. I like to call it the law of momentum, that it pushes the plane. And as it pushes the plane, the air begins to go over the wings. Watch this. And the law of lift defies the law of gravity and makes that thing come up in the air. And as long as you keep the momentum and as long as you keep the air over the wings, the plane will fly in the air as long as it can. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And so when I begin to read this, I begin to understand that laws can supersede laws. The Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And Paul teaches us that sin cannot dominate you because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So really, sin has no power over you. It had power over you because we were under the law. But thanks be unto God who always calls us to triumph, that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. And that when he died, and watch this, and he rose again with all power and shed his blood, a different law superseded that law. It was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that says it doesn't matter what they've done. I've already covered them. It doesn't matter what they happened to them in their past. I've already covered them. It doesn't matter what the devil accuses them of, I've already covered them because my law superseded that law. Does that make sense? And so the law of lift, watch this now, watch this, supersedes the law of weight or this law of gravity that typically things have to stay down, but because of the momentum or because of the thrust, watch this now, it caused the plane to go up in the air. Y'all with me so far? All right? Let me tell you why confession is so vitally important. Because when you begin to kind of figure out these laws and understand it, my confession is the thrust or it is the momentum. And that is why it is important that I only say what the Word of God says, because when I say something, my words take off. Does that make sense? And so watch this. So my words, okay, calm down. So my words take off. Watch this. Causing what could not happen to happen, defying the odds, because, watch this, the law of confession supersedes any natural law, watch this now, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. It's part of the process of faith that you call those things that be as though they. So if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. And so in the health field, they have these different laws, you know, that have to do with sickness and disease and all those kind of things. But watch this. But the law of the word of God teaches me that no matter what tries to attack my body, if the law of confession will go forth in faith, saying that I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease, watch this now, it will supersede any law of sickness. And watch this. To the degree that if cancer was there, it has to die, dry up, disintegrate, leave, and never return, because my confession is my thrust that pushes everything out of the way that's not like God. Does that make sense? Oh, all right. So when you're standing in the airport and you see that big 747 take off, and you say, oh, man, that's amazing. And I get it. I understand. It's amazing. You got it. But my whole thing is, it's supposed to do that. Like, I don't want to get in. I don't get in, you know, I fly all over the country all the time. I don't get in the plane. I don't buckle up hoping that it's going to take off. Does that make sense? You know, so once we take off, like, whew, that was amazing, Lord. No. It's supposed to do that. Watch this. Because a law is a principle based on predictable circumstances of an act, something that operates or functions the same way every time. So the plane should take off the same way every time, as long as it follows the laws. You got it? So watch this. So as long as I follow the laws of confession, you got it, and always say what the word says, how many know that the word eventually has to manifest in my life as long as I don't revoke any word that goes out? Now, how many know you can revoke your own word? Isn't that right? Yeah, you know, so you're in faith, and you're believing God for some things, and a few months go by and it's not working. And then above it not working, situation, your relationship starts not working. And you're like, man. And then above that, something happens crazy at the schoolhouse, and now you got to go down and you got to deal with that. And if you're not careful, you'll say, if it ain't one thing, you got it. And that's a trick of the enemy to try to get you to go down a route. Because see, if you just say if it ain't one thing, it's another, and you were to stop right there, it would probably be okay. But what you don't understand, the enemy put that in your mind. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Why? Because he wants to start launching this all-out attack of getting you to think this ain't, because what he wants to do is say, this ain't work, this ain't even come to pass, and now that's messed up, and now that's messed up. And what does he want you to do? He doesn't want you to say what the word of God says. He wants you to say, you know, the thoughts that he's putting in your mind, because even the devil knows that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And if I get them to say the wrong thing gonna show up. Does that make sense? All right. So you got to understand that when I say something, I expect it to come to pass. You got it? And even though, yes, when it happens, God is amazing. You got it? But I'm not shocked or surprised that it came to pass. Does that make sense? I was praying for somebody, and they came up to me and told me after service, said, you know, once you prayed for me, immediately the pain went away. And I was like, well, praise God. But they were like, no, I mean, like, it went away right away. And I was like, no. I believe that was supposed to happen. And so I was not shocked. I was thankful. We give all the glory to God, because it's not me. I can't heal a fly with a headache. You understand? I was just flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. But what I'm trying to say is, when things happen, we shouldn't be shocked, because he asked the question, is there anything too hard for me? Does that make sense? And so Peter is out all night, and he's toiling all night. I mean, him and his fishermen, they didn't catch anything. Y'all know the story. And then so next, you know, that morning, he's on the side of the shore. They're on the boat, and they're cleaning their nets. It's been a long night. Peter is ready to go home. Jesus shows up, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, what you doing? He said, hey, Jesus, how you doing, sir? He said, oh, I'm doing good. He says, hey, it's a big crowd. I want to get up and teach to them for a little while. You know, why you cleaning up? He said, oh, yeah, we're going to be here for a while cleaning all these nets. No problem. My sanctified imagination, you got it. That's what the way it happened to read the Bible, all right? And so Jesus gets on, and he noticed the crowd's a little bit bigger than he thought. So he asked him, hey, can you just, you know, push out just a little bit so I can see everybody? He said, yeah, no problem. And so they keep doing it. And so Jesus is teaching, and he's sharing with the people, and he's beginning to teach increase, and he's teaching faith to the people, and he's teaching the kingdom of God and those kind of things. And so then Jesus gets done, and then Jesus says, Peter, I appreciate it. He said, but there's a principle that I live by, that you can't do anything for me where I won't do something back for you. So he says, I want you to go fishing again. Now, how many know that Peter thought Jesus was crazy? Because Peter began to give him excuses of why he shouldn't go back and fish. You understand? He's like, you know, Jesus, I appreciate you. You don't owe me anything. He's like, I've been fishing all night. My daddy is a fisher. My granddaddy is a fisher. My great-granddaddy is a fisher. Jesus, it don't work like that. In the daytime, he says, you don't go fishing in the daytime because what happens, the fish can see, so they go all the way down to the bottom. He says, Jesus, you have to wait till it's nighttime where they come up to the top. And Jesus said, I appreciate all that, but there is a law or a principle that I have where you can't do something for me where I might not make something happen for you. So if you will just go launch out into the deep. And so Peter says, okay, no problem, Jesus. Your word is good. I'm going to do it. What happens? Peter and his homeboys go out into the deep. They caught so much fish, they had to call their partners to come help them with all the fish. Peter's like, Jesus, you ain't going to believe this. You know what you told me to do? It really worked. Jesus was not amazed. Jesus was not shocked because Jesus knew that laws work and his word was good. I'm trying to push this to get you to understand that if you will get a discipline to consistently say what the word says, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what people are saying, and just keep saying the word and keep saying the word, you will see the word manifest in your life. Let me tell you what most people do. Most people start out in faith and they start out in confession, and because there's a little bit of time, they begin to back up. Let me tell you why. Because they discount the supernatural power of God. I was talking to a preacher recently, and he just kind of doesn't understand faith, which is okay because that's why we're here. We're here to teach people faith and that kind of thing. And it just didn't make sense to him that, you know, you just going to have it and you're going to say it like it's magical. I said, no, it's not magical because God's not magical. He's sovereign. You got it. And there's some ABCs and some things that I have to do. But at the end of the day, it is still the supernatural power of God. It is his super that gets on my natural, that gives me the momentum or the thrust that I need, causing the law of lift, you got it, to take me to places I've never been before. Does that make sense? All right. So everybody say, watch what you say. Go to Mark the 11th chapter. Y'all getting blessed? Mark the 11th chapter and the 11th verse. All right. I love this. I love this scripture. I do. It's one of my favorite. Peter's in it, and he's one of my favorite guys. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12, his disciples, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was what, class? He was what? Hungry. Jesus was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves. Leaves is a sign of fruitfulness. You got it? When you see leaves, that means there's supposed to be something on the tree. The Bible says he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto, what's it? The tree. So my whole thing is, if Jesus can speak to trees, why can't you speak to situations in your life? Jesus spoke to dead men. He spoke to donkeys. He spoke to trees. He spoke to winds. He spoke to storms, and they all obeyed him. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this earth. And so I'm not God, because we're not God, but we're like God. And we have his DNA on the inside of him. And you got to understand that when I say it, it's got to be so. All right? So I'm not even done. That was just a little sidebar. And Jesus answered, said unto it, the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. So Jesus is what all his homies, his disciples. And watch this. And he's going happily to get some fruit off of a tree. All right? There is no fruit there. He didn't turn around and talk to them. He did not worry what they thought of him talking to a tree. You got it? Because sometimes we worry too much when we get outside of these four. It's so easy on the inside of these four walls. I'm doing better than ever. I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored. But what happens when you get around some people that don't believe the way you believe? You got it? And everything is going wrong. Are you still going to say, but watch this. This situation won't change the word, but the word of God is going to change my situation. And to the degree I keep saying what the word says, and saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. Matter of fact, my pastor told me that the fight is not over until I win. That if I keep swinging, eventually I'm going to hit something. That weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. As believers, I got to know how to take a licking and keep on ticking. So I can't be afraid who's around me when I'm going to say, because let me just tell you, if you get afraid to say the word of faith around people, it means you really don't believe it. No, that's really, watch this. David says, we believe, therefore we speak. You got it? And so you can't be, so Jesus wasn't worried about them. He says, hey, tree, nobody's going to eat forever. And his disciples, you notice it didn't say they overheard it. It said they heard. Jesus spoke, and when he spoke with authority. Now go to Mark 11 and 20. Oh, I really feel my teaching anointing coming on, so I hope y'all are all right. Because that's 7 minutes. I'm going to need a few more minutes than seven. But we only have one service, so everything's okay. Oh, yeah, I got plenty of time. All right. I just may need another 5 or 10 minutes past my normal. Is that okay? Who would give me 5 or 10 minutes past my normal? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30. Watch this. And in the morning, next day, remember? As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Oh, that's just, okay, I got to go somewhere different, but there's a revelation in that. Because watch this, they didn't see it till after Jesus said it. And a lot of times we want to see it before we say it. But you have to learn that it's part of the process of faith that you call those things that be not as though they were. So it doesn't matter that I can't see it. I understand why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. So I don't have to watch this, see it to say it. If I say it, I'll see it. Everybody say, if I say it, I'll see it. Watch this. The fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, Jesus, behold, you ain't gonna believe this. The fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So watch this. Watch this. Peter was astonished, but Jesus wasn't. See, I would be astonished if the plane don't take off. I would be astonished if he don't heal my body. I would be astonished if God don't increase me. I would be astonished if 2019 ain't going to be better than 2018. Are y'all following me? You got to get to the point where you change your astonishment. You understand? And when things start working in your favor, you're not astonished. I'm thankful. I'm glorifying God. But it's supposed to work this way. All right. Now let's drop down to verse 22. I've spent a lot of time on this, so I hope it's been worth it. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. Or you could say have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto, I was talking to the tree, but I'm talking to you now. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what is the mountain? The mountain is the situation, it's the trouble, it's the trial, it's the bad thing that you may be facing. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, so that means I got to talk to my situations. Am I right about it? Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall whatsoever he shall, whatsoever he shall, whatsoever he. So that's the law. I'm going to have what I say. And that is why you got to watch what you say. And that is why when you are around me, if you're down in the dumps, I'm not going to get down in the dumps with you. You got it? And because somebody came into my office and said, they were looking real sad, a husband and wife, and one of them had just been diagnosed with cancer. So I was in my seat, I was at my desk, and they told me, and they were, real somber and real solemn, and I get it, so I'm not knocking them, please understand. I get it, and then once the spouse told me, the other spouse started crying and that kind of thing, I said, okay. And they just kind of looked at me. Like, you ain't going to be sad with us. But my thing is somebody has got to be full of faith. Somebody has got to say, no, I understand what the doctor told you, and this is what I told you, but don't forget that the word of God supersedes any report from the doctor. And so I don't receive that report. And I looked at the person and I said, I believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says that Jesus took 39 stripes. And because of those stripes, you are already healed. So we get ourselves in agreement and declare right now that you are not the sick trying to get healed, but you are the healed resisting sickness and disease. And if there is anything in your body that ought not be there, right now we command it to die, to dry up, to disintegrate, to leave and never return. Now, y'all want to go get something to eat? They thought I was crazy. You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to get you to understand is you got to get to the point where you really believe the word of God. You got it? To the degree that if the word says it, I believe it. Watch this. It might take some time. I might have to go through a process. I'll even take some medication. I'll even do a surgery. But at the end of the day, I believe the report of the Lord. Look at Jimmy, you better get this. You had better get this. Because this right here is what changes your life. You're going to have what you say. You got it? And that's why I don't go around talking about if it ain't one thing, it's another. You got it? If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Man, I can't seem to catch a break. You got it? They won't give a brother a chance. No, Jesus gave you a chance over 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And because of the blood, it has not lost its power. It still reaches to the highest mountain. It still flows to the lowest valley. It's there to purge, to purify, and to protect. For without the shedding of the blood, I would not be here today. Without the shedding of the blood, I couldn't make my confession. Without the shedding of the blood, I wouldn't be healed. Without the shedding of the blood, I wouldn't have a good marriage. Without the shedding of the blood, I wouldn't have obedient children. Without the shedding of the blood, I wouldn't be successful. So I understand I am where I am because of the blood. That's why the writer says, what can wash away my sins? And what can make me whole again? Oh, my God, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, my God, my God. People don't like to talk about the name of Jesus anymore. I've noticed that people kind of have backed off talking about the name of Jesus. But I heard the word of the Lord say that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run in and they are safe. I heard that there is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know, but I heard that demons tremble at the name of Jesus and cancer flees at the name of Jesus. And if you could just learn how to just grab hold to the name of Jesus when all hell is broken loose, and just grab hold to the name of Jesus when things ain't working out, and don't put your faith in situations and don't put your faith in man, but put your faith in Jesus and you'll see it come to pass. Oh my God, I got to teach this thing. Yeah. Oh Jesus. Everybody say, you'll have what you say. Real quick, Psalms 39:1 says, I said. And you can't, because what happens is you got to get to the point where you have enough bold faith that, watch this, it's not even, my pastor told me, that's good in the beginning, but your faith has to go to another level where thank God for pastor, but pastor has now taught me faith and I understand it, you understand? And so now, devil, you showed up in my house, now I'm talking to you, you got it? And you got to get up out of here. So, devil, confusion, be gone. You got it? All right. I said I will take heed to my ways. Look at him tell you, better watch your ways. You better watch your ways. That I sin not with my. Did I sin not with my? Yeah, you ain't sleeping with nobody, but you're saying the wrong thing. Did he say that? I will keep my with the while the is, all right, who is the wicked, Satan or demons? And what you got to realize is that demons are waiting on your mouth, on your conversation, because they know that death and life is not in the power of God. It's not in the power of demons, but they know that it is in the power of the tongue. And so they come to try to distract you and give you a situation, watch this now, to make you say something that is contrary to the word of God. That is why you have to keep growing in faith, because the writer says that we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, because you do know that there are different levels of faith. Jairus has one level of faith where he begins to talk to Jesus and says, hey, I need you to come to my house and heal my daughter. Now, thank God, Jesus will meet you at whatever level of faith you're at. But watch this. Just because he meets me at this level don't mean I shouldn't go to this level. You got it? And so Jesus says, all right, that's no problem. He said, I'll go to your house. Now, women with the issue of blood, different level of faith. She says, I don't need you to come to my house. If I could just find out where you are and get into your presence and touch the hem of your garment, I shall be made whole. Different level of faith. Let me give you another level of faith. Centurion, different level of faith. He says, listen, you don't need to come to my house. He says, my servant doesn't need to come to you. But if you could just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Because I'm a man under authority and I recognize authority. And you got some authority on you. And if you just say it, it's going to come to pass. Different levels of faith. All right. There is a vocabulary of silence that after you have made your confession, you got to close your mouth. Did you hear me? No. After you made your confession, you got to close your, and if you open it up again, you only say what you already said. Does that make sense? All right. Jairus is with Jesus, and he's on his way to the house. Women with issue of blood, that whole thing slows everything down. Now, I can understand Jairus. You know, yeah, I do want Jesus to, you know, feel, you know, see what's going on here, but I really need you to get to my house. All this is going on. Jairus' servants show up. Trouble the master no more. Talking about Jesus. Your daughter, she's dead. I said there's a vocabulary of silence, right? Jesus quickly turned around. Shh. Only believe. And sometimes in your life, and in the situation where you've been confessing the word, you've been believing, and it seems like it's getting worse before it gets better. And it seems like the devil will give you another dose of trouble. And it seems like you keep fighting, you keep serving, you keep giving, you keep coming to church. And what you don't understand is he's trying to dump everything he can on you to change your confession, and you can't let him change your confession. Does that make sense? All right. Psalms 103 and 20. Is that the time? Okay, I'm good. All right, y'all getting blessed? All right, I'm almost done. So we in good time. All right, I love this next part. What did I say? I love this next part. Only two of y'all knew what I said. Is my mic not working? Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in, that do his. So he says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. So watch this now. When angels, watch this, go to work, they don't just go to work, but they go to work in strength. Watch this, to do only his commandment, hearkening unto the voice of his word, right? So, okay, all right. So the Bible says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength to do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So you got to get this. Angels don't hearken unto the voice of your word. They hearken unto the voice of his word. So that is why you got to make sure your word is his word, because his word can't be your word. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So when you begin to understand that word hearken, in the Hebrew, it means shama. It means to hear, to listen, and to obey. Come here, Ben and Mitch and Joe, bring me two chairs. Stack them up. Everybody say to hear, to listen, and to obey. All right. So what we're going to do is, first thing we're going to do is we're going to set it right here. You're going to stack that one on top. All right, now, Smith, you stay on that side. Ben, you get right here on the back. Joe, you get right here. All right. Y'all pick that thing up. Work together. Teamwork makes the dream work. Lifting's a breeze when you bend at the knees. Once you get over 40, you got to start remembering that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm fine, but your wisdom is the principal thing. Everybody say, God's word is holding everything in place. One more time. God's word is holding everything in place. So everything he promised you, everything he said he was going to do, everything that's in his word that relates to you, God's word is holding everything in place. It's not based on the government. It's not based on who's the president. It's not based on if they send me a stimulus check. It's not based on if this happens or that happens. It's only based on one thing, and that's God's word, and it's holding everything in place. So this is what I want y'all to do. I want you to hold this, and I want you to keep holding it. And I don't want you to stop holding it unless I revoke my word and tell you to stop holding it. While you're holding it, I don't care if a tornado comes through here. I want you to keep on holding it. I don't care if a flood comes and the flood is getting up to here. I want you to keep on holding it. I don't care if people start acting crazy. I don't care if people start lying on you. I don't care if you lose your job. I don't care if all hell breaks loose in your life. I want you to continue to hold that unless I revoke my word. Got it? Everybody say, God's word is holding everything in place. I read an article several years ago, and I think it was USA Today, that scientists were spending billions of dollars trying to find out why the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. And I realized at that moment, I got a revelation of why. And I said, they can stop spending that money and they can send it to Without Limits Christian Center, because we got some land to buy over here that we're going to buy, and we're going to buy that other house over there, and then there's some more land over there. You understand what I'm saying? And so this generation is going to pave the way. So when my son and that next generation comes, if Jesus tarries is coming, everything will be paid for. All they got to do is just impact people's lives in an amazing way. Does that make sense? Yeah. And we're working on paying it down right now, the bills we do have. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have a lot because it was $2.7 million when we first started. You got it? And then we had to add that, which was another $800,000 or something like that. But we pay over and above every single month, thousands of dollars, right? So 2.7 plus 800,000 is 3.5, and we owe 1.16. Now, I thought y'all would have had a better clap than that. I'm saying you got to be glad you go to church where you got a real man and woman of God. Ain't nobody playing with nothing. We are good stewards. Hello, somebody. Because the principle of stewardship equals increase. Okay, but that's another word for another time. God's word is holding everything in place. All right? So what happens is, scientists couldn't understand. Well, it's real easy. When God, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The word hearken means, in the Hebrew, to hear, listen, and obey. So when God said, let there be light, watch this now, light took off. And because God has not revoked his word, light is still going. Does that make sense? Because God's word is holding everything in place. And in your life, God is holding your marriage in place. He's holding your children in place. He's holding your finances in place. He's holding your business in place. He's holding your sanity in place. God's word is holding everything in place. So it doesn't matter if all hell or high water comes, don't worry, because God is holding everything in place. It doesn't matter if flow comes, because God's word is holding everything in place. It doesn't matter if a tornado comes, God's word is holding everything in place. Don't matter if people start lying on you and start changing their mind about you. God's word is holding everything in place. And so weapons may form, but they will not prosper. You might bend, but you will not break. Sometime you have to endure hardship as a good soldier. Sometime you got to learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. And sometime it's going that way, but then sometime it'll come that way. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Thank you, brothers. You can put it down now. Give them a big hand. Somebody say, I might bend, but I will not break. Say, weapons may form, but they will not prosper. So I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed that you can lie on me, that you can change your mind about me, that you can back up from me. It's okay, because what really matters has not changed. And what has not changed is his word. He says he always calls me to triumph and he always causes me to win. So I win even when it looks like I'm losing. All right. Did I give y'all the confession? On the screen. Okay. Y'all make a confession? All right, let's go home. Did you get the lesson? All right, because listen, you got to watch what you say. You got to watch what you say. When it comes to the law of confession, that is the most concrete lesson you'll ever hear on the law of confession. You got to watch what you say. And if you catch yourself saying something that you shouldn't say, thank you, Courtney. If you catch yourself saying something that you shouldn't say, then you just need to repent, get back on track, and keep saying the right thing. All right, let's put it up on the screen. Let's stand. You glad you came to church today? Yeah, I ain't got time to go through all that other stuff. This was good enough. Tuesday night, everybody say Tuesday night. All right, so I want you to come back Tuesday night. Somebody in the back, run me up a confession book real quick. Somebody run me up a confession book, please. And do we have any more of those Pray First journals? Pray First journal too. They're not back there. If they're back there, fine. If not, no problem. Thank you, sir. Okay, so you have one? Yes. Oh, he's got one. Thank you, though. All right. Okay, listen, we're going to go and, like, we're going to make a confession in, like, 2 minutes, and I'm going to get you out of here, but I want to talk to you about something real quick. This right here is called Confessions on the Go. I think it's a little book. How much is this book? $5, okay? We ain't trying to make money off the book. We're just trying to pay for it. You got it? If you're having trouble knowing what to say, we wrote something to help you. And this is all just, what is a confession? It's just a compilation of the Word of God. So we've got a confession of unity, confession of love, confession of favor, confession of authority, confession of healing, confession over your offering, confession of blessing, confession of debt freedom, confession of increase, confession while you're fasting, confession for the singles, confession for the husbands, confession for the wives, confession for childbearing while you're pregnant, confession over your children once they're already here, declarations of faith, increase scriptures, healing scriptures, and then we have a regimen that I ask every member to pray for our church every day in the back. It takes about 6 minutes to pray. You got it? Most people don't understand that they have not made a relationship between what they say and what they have in their lives. So if you don't have one of these, you need to get one of these and start saying what the Word says. You got it? Y'all, you know, I don't even know how many we have back there. And those of you that have them, you need to pick them back up. We have a Pray First journal that we did last year that we handed out. And it has the different prayers: lifestyle prayer, the Lord's Prayer, tabernacle prayer, prayer and scriptural devotions, warfare prayers, personal prayer targets. There's even a journal in there where you can start writing things that you're believing for and check them off as they go and those kind of things. But what I'm saying is, don't just be living life aimlessly, but live life on purpose. And one way you live life on purpose is with the words of your mouth. That if I keep saying what the Word says and keep saying what the Word says, I'm going to see the Word manifest in my life. All right, y'all ready to make this confession? All right, here we go. Repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every negative word that I have spoken, every word that I have released that's been against your will and your plan for my life and the life of others. I ask you to forgive me for it. I cancel them right now in Jesus' name. From this day forward, give me understanding. Give me conviction from the Holy Ghost when I speak anything against your word. Help me. Give me the grace to say what you say in every situation. Help me to be bold
and strong. You said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. From this day forward, I declare, I shall win and never lose. I declare, I shall be the head and not the tail. I choose to intentionally glorify you. I choose to boldly declare where I'm going. I thank you for favor. I thank you for miracles. I thank you for open doors. I thank you for momentum in my life. I thank you for favor in my life. You're taking my name from the bottom to the top. Policies, rules, regulations, and laws are changed and reversed on my behalf. I win battles. I don't have to fight because you're fighting just for me. I always win. I always win. I always win. I'm not. Okay, watch this. You got to get this. I'm not. No, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Don't say it. Most people, if their destination is the keyboard, let's say that's the win for them and that kind of thing, and they're going through things, most people, watch this now, think that they have to walk to their victory. And that when they get here, they've gotten to their victory. And that's not in the Word of God. Because the Word of God said that He always causes a triumph and He always causes to win. My question is, what if it takes you 3, 6, or 9 months to get there? So you have to wait that long to get the victory? So watch this. I'm never walking to victory, but every day of my life, I'm walking in victory. And I'm taking it one day at a time. And God is helping me. And God is leading me. And God is guiding me. You got it? And by the time I get here, I'm not shocked or I'm not amazed, because all along the way, He's been showing His goodness to me. So I'm not walking to victory. I'm walking in victory. But Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. You walk into victory. Pastor, listen, you talk about sin. I've been in sin. I've been messed up. I've been doing things that I shouldn't be. That's why God brought you here today. So you can get back to walking in victory. See, that's what you got to understand about the grace of God. You can't do anything good enough to deserve it, but you can't do anything bad enough to get rid of it. That's what makes it grace. And when you woke up this morning, He gave you a brand new day with brand new mercies. So you're not walking to victory, but you're walking in victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time today around.